Hey, welcome to the Happy Ramp Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always by my good friends and partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Buddy the Elf. This is the Christmas episode of the Happy Ramp Podcast. And Piper, in the spirit of Christmas and commerce, we have a sponsor. Why don't you tell us about who that is and what they're selling?
So you know what? In the spirit of Christmas, our sponsor is really... it's not a product. It's an opportunity to be generous for our listeners. Because our partner for this month is Compassion International, who, for most of our listeners, are probably familiar. Compassion, their main thing is child sponsorships. So they work with churches, organizations, Christian artists, a whole bunch of different folks, like podcasts like us, to connect people in the church, American believers, to children around the world who are in poverty, who need sponsorship. So... basically, what they're asking for is you get paired with a child. You actually get to select the child. So, especially if you're doing this with your kids. So, like, I have two daughters who are almost 11 and 14. So, I could go and find a little girl who's in about their age so that they feel some sense of connection, sign up to sponsor them. I could pick the area of the world if there's somewhere that I've been on a missions trip or I know people there or there's some sort of connection. So, you can kind of narrow it down to what it feels like a real connection for your family. You sign up to sponsor. It's $38 a month, which I know money can be tight for folks, but I mean, if you pay for like YouTube TV or Hulu Live or Netflix or Amazon Prime, like you're already paying this much for a whole bunch of stuff. So this is, it's a pretty affordable amount. And what the child will get out of that is medical checkups, nutritious food, health and hygiene, treatment and training, educational assistance, emergency services as needed, and then mentoring, as well as just connection to believers who will then share the gospel with them. So this is poverty alleviation in the name of Christ. It's not just throwing money at a problem. So if you go to compassion.com/thehappyrant, you can see a selection of children who are in need who you can choose from, or you can search for something that works well with you and your family. And just thinking about it, I don't know a better way to sort of help your kids see a way to be generous, as well as helping them see what needs look like around the world. Americans don't tend to be good at global awareness. So again, go to compassion.com/thehappyrant and sign up to sponsor a kid. If a one-time donation is easier for you, they have an opportunity to do that as well. They also have all the details you need for how they use the money, how it's channeled, all the ethics behind it if you have concerns about that as well. So check out that website and sign up to sponsor a child today.
I love it, Pipe. Well done, as always, and I agree with all of that. Now, I have another compassion-related opportunity for people to get involved in, and this is a little different kind of a sponsorship. Imagine, like, if you were linked into Compassion. So if you were to get the letter from Compassion, and instead of, like, a little kid, it was a picture of a middle-aged hipster, like in a magazine-quality home surrounded by baked goods, and wearing several jackets, like your compassion child would be Ron Martin, Christmas Ron. And instead of just sending some money, like you would send some money and then you would get his Advent book in return. Piper, why don't you gas up Ronald's Advent book?
Ronnie's Advent book. All right, folks. Our very own Ronald J. Martin has written an Advent devotional for kids and families. It is called The Best Gift Ever Given, a 25-day journal through Advent, from God's good gifts to God's great son. And this combines two things that Ronnie loves more than anything else in the world, and that is the Christmas season with teaching people about Jesus. So he,
wow.
It's
high praise,
just,
Pipe.
Yeah, well, he did an excellent job with this. He deserves high praise. So it's also beautifully illustrated. I love the style of illustration. It's not cartoony. I don't know what you call this style, but it's I don't know. It's very exceptional. Ron, who did the illustrations for this?
Yeah, so it's a style. It would basically be called like mid-century style, and it was by an artist named Nathan Schrader.
Nathan Schrader killed it on this. He did an awesome job. So from this book, each devotional has a key scripture verse based on a brief teaching. It's interactive with a whole bunch of illustrations. questions to help you talk with your kids about these things, and then a prayer for it. So it's brief, it's concise, and then it walks people through the story of Christmas as well as just the kind of the whole biblical message of how Christ came. Again, folks, that's called The Best Gift Ever Given by our very own Ronald J. Kringle, Father Christmas, Buddy the Elf Martin, and it is available now. And if you order it now, you can still get through it by Christmas because it's not that long.
Wow, Pipe.
There you go.
That was so nice.
Sensational promo work.
I know, it was amazing.
By Barnabas Piper.
I feel like I'm finally a beneficiary of his unbelievable promo work.
It's been a long time coming,
man.
Yeah, you've earned it. Earned it.
Absolutely.
So, Christmas really brings out the promotional best in me, I guess.
It does. It does, Pipe. Christmas in general brings out the best in this program, I think. And
at least one of us.
What's interesting about this is that if I were ambitious enough to look back through our group chats of the past few years, we get the same holiday episode ideas from Ronald with the same level of excitement every year. And I think our responses to them are uniformly the same every year. Ron always, he wants to do an app in which we talk about Christmas and like presents, present giving, best present ever. And my response is to just be surly, and Piper's response is somewhere in the middle of like Buddy the Elf and like surly, curmudgeonly Big T. So
I was gonna say, my response at this point is just like stir the pot, because Ted's angry and Ronnie's excited, and that just makes me happy because I feel like sparks will fly.
Oh yeah, definitely. And they never really fly because we have too much respect for each other as radio men, you know. But still, in the spirit of Christmas. And this being the Christmas episode, we're going to wade into this. So these are Ron's topics, and I'm just going to start going through them. Okay, first Christmas topic. Two presents we'll never buy for ourselves, but wish someone else would. Ronald J. Christmas, let's start with you, since this was your topic.
Well, baby, does that make sense? You guys know where I was going with that vibe. It's like, because we're old now and we can just buy stuff, like Christmas is like strange, because it's like all through the year, it's kind of like the issue that your dad had growing up when your dad, you never knew what to buy your dad, because he only wanted like two things per year and he just bought those things for himself. So now that we've reached that status, it's kind of fascinating because it's like what possibly could be out there within reason. I'm not talking about like that, you know, that car that you're never going to be able to afford. I'm talking about like something within your grasp, but you don't want to get it. And yet you wish somebody else would just spend the cash and get it for you. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Dude, I don't know if I know, because like, yeah, I mean, you've outlined the problem, right? And I may lean into this in a little bit more of a glum existential way, and I want to hear your thoughts on it. But like, so you've outlined this problem of once you reach our age, if there's something you want, you just usually get it for yourself at some point. So like, honestly, I can't fathom two gifts that I want that I wish someone else would buy me. I think the thing that I want now more than any other thing is just time. Like, if I could spend time like in a high quality, uninterrupted way with KK or with one or both of my kids, like that would be the gift.
So what you're saying is you want a sabbatical for Christmas.
Correct.
I do want a sabbatical. I want a Christmas sabbatical.
Double K, buy your boy some time.
Buy me some time.
Buy Big T if I could only just get
Union
some time.
Union University, buy Ted a sabbatical for Christmas.
We're going to start a campaign. Maybe we'll start a GoFundMe. Get Ted some time.
Start a Patreon for my sabbatical. That would be amazing. I'm actually on a group. It's a really fun group chat with my best friend from college and his son, who is a freshman in college himself now. And we're kind of going through this checklist with his kid of quintessential Christian college experiences that he's like, this kid's like ticking through them at a breakneck pace. You know, he's only
a
freshman.
So he's 15 pounds heavier than he was 3 months ago. He has been heavily involved in Ultimate Frisbee.
Oh, yeah.
He has had somebody say they can't date him because they've given their heart to Jesus.
Absolutely.
See. What
is
else
that really the experience?
Does he play the acoustic guitar or the djembe yet?
Dude, he's got, if he wants to get married, he does. I mean, he absolutely
Frisbee?
Has to.
Ugh.
Well, dude, and he's already told me. So this morning he hit the group chat and he was like, "You guys, I'm done with girls for a little while. you know, like I've got to get my own stuff worked out. And I'm like, that checks a box. And then also, if a mentor type comes to you and says, dude, the very minute that I gave up with girls, that's when God like introduced me to my wife, you know, that's and right. he's like, oh, it's already happened. You know, it's already happened. But
yeah, when you can manipulate God into giving you things by giving them up.
Absolutely, man. That's like freshman year Christian college logic right there. But point being, though, he was telling us this tale about, you know, how he was spending quality time with two girls, and you know, we were having this really quality conversation, and my buddy and I chipped in. Like, I haven't had quality time with anyone in like a decade, you know. So I think for me, this is what I want the most, which isn't a present. But Piper, what about you? What two gifts?
So one thing comes to mind, and it's not an item, because there's nothing that I'm dying for. Also, if I really want it, I just buy it. But it's the kind of thing that I look at and I go, I would love to do that someday, but I will probably never set aside the scratch for it. And it's like an all expenses paid trip to, like the American National Parks of the West. So,
wow.
You know, Glacier National Park, Yellowstone National Park, hiking, backpacking, you know, whatever, or like a fly fishing trip, something like that. But just out in the mountains, out in the woods. But here's the thing. I don't want to stay in a tent. Like,
no.
I don't want to have an all expenses paid sleep on the ground trip. I want to do like glamping, you know, like glamour camping or like where there's a really nice lodge. So you go out and rough it, maybe spend like one night in a tent and then hike back in. But just like that kind of thing seems amazing to me. And the odds of me ever paying for that are negligible.
Yeah. Ronald, what about you? Two gifts you wish somebody would get?
Well, I mean, I think you guys are,
you won't get for yourself.
I think you guys are really, you're really nailing down some things here with the fact that we, as we get older, we just want more experiences than we want material items, you know, I think at the end of the day. So, yeah.
Except for log cabins. Ron wants a log cabin.
But see, I mean, that, you know, so if you told me that I could have like a log cabin in like, you know, a Bavarian village outside of Germany for the month of December, like, you know, that would be pretty amazing. You know, that would be something where I would love some.
But not one that you have to own and, like, pay property taxes on.
I mean,
henceforth.
I wouldn't be opposed to that either if I could afford it. but just thinking of, like, if there's, like, some experience out there, whether it's a trip, whether it's time, whether it's, like, some kind of a sabbatical, whether it's, like, a moment that you were given to do exactly what you wanted to do within that moment. I think that's really, at the end of the day, what everybody wishes for once you get to a particular age. Because it's like you said, I mean, you've kind of, like, the material items that you want, you've brought those things down to earth for yourself to the point where you don't even want those things that are unattainable. And you know you'll never get them anyway. But there's a chance where you can attain some of these experiences.
Well, and the fact that, like, there's not a single thing in the world that's going to dramatically improve my life, you know?
Right, and that comes to age, right.
I mean, you could, if somebody bought me a, you know, a $300,000 car of some kind, my life would not be measurably better. I'm pretty content with what I've got. But if somebody paid for like a $15,000 trip to somewhere amazing, that, you know, that would transform my life for at least the, you know, the 2 weeks I was on the trip or whatever. You know, that there's a different value on those things altogether.
Yeah, agreed. Ronald, is Christmas? I ask you this every year, man. People can set their watches by this conversation, but I'm waiting for the year that you admit that this is the case. Has Christmas gotten a little less magnificent for you yet, or does it deliver at the same level every year?
No, man. I mean, I think we talked about this last year, so I'll just cut and paste this audio
in
there right now. 3, 2, no. I think no, it doesn't always deliver the same. So what happens is that I work really hard. Every Christmas, I'm like an elf, man. I am working overtime for Christmas to be as Christmassy as it can possibly be. And for whatever reason, and it's usually anxiety and season of life and stress levels at that particular moment, sometimes it just doesn't deliver. This year, man, there's been some crazy things that have happened in the last 3 or 4 months that have been less than beautiful and Christmassy. And yet, I will admit that this year has been delivering the spirit of Christmas in spades so far. And I don't know if it's because things have been so bad the last 3 or 4 months that, like, anything good feels extra good. I think it's a little bit of that because everything has been feeling just very merry and bright. Okay. And it's been awesome. But
now, do you feel pressure like every day? Like when you come home from the office at, 3:59 p.m. in the afternoon and you toss down the $7,000 Saddleback bag on the bench at home. Like, do you feel like I got to do something Christmassy tonight, or do you just kind of like let it unfold?
Yeah, no, there is definitely the pressure because I got to make sure that there is music going, that there's some activity that's going to tie in with the holidays, whether it's like baking something, a Christmas movie, connecting with friends to do something. You know, so I started a Christmas book club this year, and so I work hard.
Of course you did.
Piper, why is my immediate response just a guffaw?
Boys, I'm telling you,
what's going on there?
I work hard.
Can you and Pipe, I don't think you'll mind this. Can you just go deep dive for a minute on the Christmas book club?
Yeah, please.
And like describe
for
everything about
enjoyment.
It.
Boys, it's the first year I've ever attempted it. I've been wanting to do it for as long as I can remember because I always get my stack.
Well, I mean, who doesn't?
Well, not everybody does.
If I had a nickel for every guy who said that.
T, I got something for you. Believe it or not everybody does.
Yeah. you're killing me with that.
So what kind of Ebenezer Scrooge chumps are these?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, what kind of a jerk doesn't want to be in a Christmas book club?
Well,
come on.
I would challenge anybody to find a church where their pastor begins a Christmas book club. That has to be a Guinness Book of World Records right there.
Spurgeon had one. You did. I was reading in Spurgeon this morning about
Did he start a Christmas book club one year?
The Prince of Preachers, they called him, but also they called him the Prince of the Christmas Book Club.
Yeah, that's true. I thought that was my title, so I don't. Anyway,
tell us all about it.
So my favorite Christmas author is a guy named Richard Paul Evans. Every year he drops a new book. And so I was able to convince some people who are more drawn to that kind of thing.
Well, baby, that sounds magnificent. Now, when you guys gather for the club, now are you leading discussion?
Yeah.
Asking questions like, guys, now are these Christmas books like, is it a novel? Is it like a Hallmark book or a Hallmark movie set to the page? Or what kind of books are we talking about?
It essentially is. I mean, this guy like kind of has a theme that he's always kind of going after. So it's kind of a tragic story that ends in Christmas. And then, it's just one night. So we're going to get together, have a bunch of desserts.
Is he a Hallmark screenwriter?
A couple of his books have been remade into movies, which, by the way, have been like just horrible. Because he's actually really good.
Dude, now what are you... What are you guys doing this year? Noel Street?
Yeah, Noel Street.
Or something else?
Yeah, Noel Street.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I'm looking at him. I'm looking at
Third book in the Noel collection, and so we're gonna wrap it up with Noel Street. Yeah.
Nice.
I appreciate you just sort of like getting on.
How many people are in this book club?
I was able to convince six, and then two others I coerced. So I think we have like eight.
What, did you promise them baked goods that you won't eat? You're like, I promise I'll bake it, and then it's all for
it's
you.
All gonna be, it's
just,
all going to be
I just smell it.
Magnificent Martin baked goods. And there's two people that really don't want to do it. But it's like, I had to have another couple of fellas in this thing, boys. Like, it couldn't just be like me and the ladies, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So I had to get my wife into this thing, who is absolutely opposed, Big M. And then
now, why is she opposed? Lean into that.
Because she's normal.
She just doesn't like. Yeah, she doesn't like this kind of writing. She's a huge Stephen King fan. She just reads other authors. She doesn't like. She's too sappy. For So it's a miracle.
Okay,
it's a miracle this relationship continues to work out so great. But it's just
she doesn't like movies. She doesn't like sappy Christmas books. Goodness, opposites do attract. If Stephen King wrote a Christmas book, what would that be like?
I don't know, but it would be all about, it would have like aliens and something mysterious about it, and ultimately probably be gross, and I wouldn't be interested in it at all.
That's true. That's true.
That's fair.
That would be tough. Yeah.
Anyway.
Hey, boys, I have another question. I have another Christmas question. This is a topic. Best gift you ever received? Piper.
Wait, is that one that Ronnie suggested?
Yeah.
Shocker.
Yeah, no, I know. I didn't come up with that. I got to attribute. Now, I feel
Didn't we do this one last year?
I love how you guys just have to
Piper,
gut
we
your
do
way
it every year.
This.
We literally.
Guys, the enthusiasm from you guys right now is shockingly low.
Piper, we literally do this every year. But I'll say this, though, on the positive about it. This is where we got that golden moment where you revealed that you guys got like a canvas pouch for Christmas, a shepherd's pouch.
It was burlap. It was the shepherd's pouch. Yeah. And yeah, that was instead of stockings.
Honestly, this episode in the past has delivered some magic, if we count that.
Christmas gold.
Christmas gold.
My best gift I ever received. I couldn't tell you one thing I've gotten for Christmas in maybe ever. I don't remember any Christmas presents.
Dude, it's so glum. Nice. This is so glum. It's unbelievable.
This is a glum app. This is exactly what I envisioned.
This is worse than the worst app ever from 2 weeks ago. I mean, it's unbelievable.
No, that was worse. That was definitely worse. Ted's apologies are way worse than Ted's lack of enthusiasm for Christmas.
Dude, that's true.
I don't know. Do you guys have like a best gift? It stands out. You're like, oh, is that one time I got the, you know, the Red Ryder BB gun or whatever?
I do not. I can come up with one. But Ronald, yeah, what about you?
Yeah, my best one was 1982.
82. Yeah. Good year.
I know. I was a kid, obviously. I was young. And my dad was wiped out financially. He was broke as a spoke, man. And
is this when you guys went to that motel in the middle of nowhere? Or was that a different – is that like a summer vacation thing? I just remember like a Ronnie Martin trip – okay, gotcha. I just remember there was like a Martin family sojourn to some janky.
This was
hotel.
A summer thing, though. This was a legit Christmas thing where the old guy is broke, and they went over the top for Christmas, my parents, right? So they were like nutso about Christmas. And this year they were like kind of crying the blues saying, you know, that my dad's business was tanking. It was basically like a Richard Paul Evans novel. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was going to say, baby, you ought to just like novelize
I would
this.
Like
You'd
to.
Be rich.
I would like to. And then
you'd be Richard.
So there was this bike that I wanted, and I just knew there was no way on earth I was going to get the bike because it's like, man, there's going to be barely any gifts. We're doing our best. So it just completely vanished out of my mind or my thinking that I would even have a chance of getting it. And I woke up that morning and there it was under the tree.
Oh, baby.
Yeah. So it was epic.
That's huge.
Yeah, it was epic.
That is epic.
And
it's a nice story too.
It is nice, and you know, I found out later like what my dad had to do to to get the cash for all of that, and it makes it even more just sad and beautiful.
No, that's nice, baby. That's
so there
nice.
It is, right there. Boom,
dude. Like truly, all kidding aside, that's a like that could be the backbone of one of these kind of sappy Christmas novels.
Oh, absolutely.
Truly, you should do it.
Yeah,
you should. What's stopping you?
Nothing. Nothing.
I mean, this is the career you really want.
It is the
man.
Career
I
really
into
want.
That.
I just can't get anybody to publish these things. That's kind of the issue I'm having. That's the
dude. Is it a lack of? Okay, and this is like a serious publishing.
I have a serious answer for you too. Yeah.
Yeah. Are there just too many people trying to do that, or is there just not enough demand, or what's the stumbling?
So
block
here's what
here?
Happened. Like, so I finished
industry.
I finished my second novel, and they you know it did the rounds, and so this is what I found out. Is that they the Christmas novels, those are the books that they just sort of tell the established fiction authors to just sort of throw them one, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
So it's like a band doing a Christmas album. They're like, do the same
100%.
11 songs as everybody else, and it's like a guaranteed paycheck.
Yeah. So it's like,
yeah,
it's just like you got to do a regular fiction novel first, and then that comes on the heels of it. You know what I mean? So you got to establish yourself just writing stories that I don't care about. So what I got to do, boys, basically, is I got to write a bunch of novels that I don't care about writing so that I can get to the novel that I actually want to write that they're not even that concerned about because it's only viable for like 2 months out of the year in terms of the sales cycle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's what I got to do. So check it out. So we got some interest from some publishers, and that's what they said. They said, hey, we're interested in you being like a Nicholas Sparks for us, but we need you to write just some regular fiction first. We like your writing. We think it has legs, but give us something non-Christmas first, and then we'll talk about something on the heels of that. So,
baby, how did your heart leap when they said, we want you to be the Nicholas Sparks for us?
I mean, my heart leapt a few feet, Big T. I'm not going to lie to you, but the thought of writing...
Baby, that was a good night in the Martin
household.
But I mean,
the thought of writing a bunch
big.
Of romances that have nothing to do with Christmas, like, I'm not super pumped about that. You know what I mean?
No, I know it. I know it. And that's the...
And given that, I've already written half of one of those first novels. So anything to get me to the...
Of course you have.
Anything to get me to the Christmas novel.
Now, what can you tell us about the half of one romance novel that you've written? Anything at all? Do you have any... like basic plot points or characters? What can you tell us about the romance novel that you've already written?
Yeah, so it's about a musician that's all dried up, and he gets a shot at doing something to get himself back in the limelight. And the big twist.
Oh, is this A Star Is Born?
Yeah, it is. And so the big twist is that the person that gives him his break is also the one that is going to just kind of like, you know, kind of bring him back down to earth and humble him. So there's kind of a twist. I don't want to give it all away, but So it's going to be, you know, it's a little bit from real life perspective, because I know something about the music industry, so I can speak at it from that standpoint. And, you know, I'm not saying there's not going to be a Christmas scene in it, right? Because, you know, I mean, you know, the whole movie lasts through the course of a year, so they got to hit some of the seasons, right? So,
yeah. No, they got to.
They got it. They absolutely have to.
Yeah. Well, I like it, Ronald. Thanks, and I can tell you this. Piper and I will be purchasing your first romance novel.
I just want Pipe to promo it.
In fact, yeah, Pipe can promo it. Now, like, will it have like a Fabio-esque kind of romance novel cover? Like,
That's like, no, because, I mean, if you look at, like, Nicholas Sparks' books, they're a little more artistic.
Yeah, no, Sparks, he always plays it. Yeah. He plays it
a little bit cool.
As far as that goes. As far as that goes.
Yeah. It's going.
So we got way deep into the weeds of that, but so we got your best gift story. It was the bike. Piper can't remember any gifts that came in his shepherd's pouch. Dude, for me, I think like every year of childhood, it was similar to Ron's story, where my parents would always like really crush it with the big gift, and it was always a surprise, and it was always really, really nice, and something that something that either I really wanted or I didn't even know I wanted it, and they like kind of surprised me. They were just amazing. You know, they were amazing. And I think that's why like adulthood has always kind of paled in comparison, and we try to now deliver that moment for our kids, and hopefully it succeeds. But
it doesn't
feel the same for me.
Talk about a moment with your kids. What was the one moment where they were just like utterly astonished at what they got under the tree?
Oh, dude. So last year, my kid is a big Michigan fan, because we used to live in Michigan, and I got him a pair of Michigan Jordans, and he was really surprised, really pumped about those.
Nice.
The kids are great, man. They're appreciative. You know, they're really they're good boys, and they've got grateful hearts, and I'm happy for that. I don't know. I think once you hit a certain age, it loses its magic a little bit, which is why it's good that we're friends, baby. You can remind me that the Christmas magic does still exist, and that I need to work for it. You know, I think if I've learned anything this afternoon, it's that while grace is free, Christmas is not free. Like, it takes work. Getting into that Christmas kind of motif, it takes work. And baby, you'll be happy to know that immediately after we wrap recording at 3 o'clock this afternoon, I'm going to a company Christmas party, and I'm wearing a velour like jacket. It's very Christmassy.
Ooh, what's the color scheme on this velour jacket?
Yeah, dude, so it's not a Christmas color, it's blue. It's blue velvet, actually. I knew it was a V word. It's blue velvet. I got a little scarf and just a nice shirt. So
nice.
I feel like I'm going through the motions, like I'm putting the work
You're
in.
Trying,
you know?
Yeah, that's festive.
Is it the faculty
I'm putting
Christmas
the work
party?
In.
Is there gonna be a lot of
goodies?
Yeah,
it's a faculty Christmas party. Yeah, a lot of nice high end snacks.
White elephant exchange or something of that nature.
Dude, no white elephant. This is like the one where we all like go and parade through the president's house. So the president like opens his house up from like 2 to 5, and there's really high end snacks, and
the president
like high end snacks. Yeah,
so basically
like
Jerry
snacks.
Falwell Jr. or whatever, whoever's the president of your.
Yeah, not that guy, though. Not that guy. Different guy. But high-quality food, low-quality conversation is really the nature of this event.
I mean, is it a fun time for you, or is it something that you're trying to get through?
Dude, you know how I am, right? I think we're similar in this, in that, like, for me, the worst thing is low-quality chit-chat. Like, I really like a good conversation. Like a high quality deep dive, or even just a fun like ha ha you know, kind of conversation where I'm hitting it off with somebody, I'm here for that for sure. But, you know, this kind of like cattle call work thing where you're just kind of parading through, and I feel like I could write the conversations ahead of time. Like, hey, how's your semester wrapping up? Good, you know, I'm tired, a lot of grading, you know, like, yeah, the end's in sight, finish line, you know, and I feel like I should just print a card with that on it, and I could just hand that out to everybody.
Gee, you know what, though? Can you know? I make a suggestion?
Print it on a t-shirt.
Yeah, make a suggestion.
Why don't you change your tone a little bit and come in with a little bit of this and say, hey, how's your semester been? And has it been, like, a good wrap to the year? And how are your students?
I see what you're doing.
I mean,
dude, hit him with a little vulnerable voice.
A little vulnerable.
Maybe.
Absolutely. It'll go well with the velvet. You know what I'm saying?
Like a little Christmas velvet?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Christmas velvet?
Yeah.
Nice snack.
I mean, just change your like, see what happens on the heels of doing a little V-voice.
Baby, that little V-voice. V-voice is going to be magical today. I can tell you
and
that
get
much.
A little
I'm
recording of it for me and Pipe so that we can actually, like, just drop, just click on your phone and get it. Give us a little sample of one of those, man.
You can evaluate the V-voice. After the fact, man, it's like watching film of a game. You guys will see how it worked. No, that's exciting, baby. That's a good idea.
Good idea.
That redeems this afternoon. It might redeem Christmas, boys. I'm not going to lie. So.
Well, speaking of redeeming myself or Christmas, I don't care much about gifts, and so I'm really bad at that. First of all, I want to say it wasn't my parents' fault. They bought me a lot of stuff. I don't remember it. Yeah. So this coming Saturday evening, I also get to go to a corporate Christmas party, not for Emmanuel Nashville, but for, wait for it, Dave Ramsey's company.
Oh, boy.
Get out.
Yes.
Dude, why are you going
what
to that?
Happened,
okay, so.
Judas.
What happened?
So I've been dating a lady named Lauren for about 9 months now, and she works for Ramsey's company. So I get to be the plus one at the Ramsey Solutions Christmas party, which apparently is just a monstrous shindig.
Dude, does she hate how much we crap all over Ramsey on this program?
She hasn't listened to those episodes. I've warned her. I told her, I was like, you know, me coming to this is basically a research expedition and will probably garner at least a segment, if not an entire episode.
Like, everybody gets there and, like, takes their jackets off and, like, puts their envelopes on the shelf. Unbelievable.
So I get to do a little behind the scenes researching of the rich people things universe itself.
How frugal will he be, though?
Compare these two things, Piper.
He is not frugal with his employees. Like, they take insanely good care of the people who work there.
Wow.
Yeah, so compare these two things. The party that you're about to go to.
Uh-huh.
And the Nakatomi Corporation's Christmas party from 1988's hit movie Die Hard.
Here we go.
Which one is going to be more lavish?
Here we go.
Boy, you know, I got to say, the Nakatomi one, it feels just scarred in my mind because of the whole terrorist takeover thing.
That's true.
I think Ramsey might out-lavish them.
I think he might, man. And that party was pretty lavish.
Yeah, but he is so. They're renting out a significant portion of the Opryland Hotel.
Whoa, man!
So, and for employees who are married, like, they get to stay the night there. And so there's this whole thing, like, food, drink, all covered. They give employees money towards dinner, either at the hotel or out before they come. Like, it's a whole, and there's like 1,000 employees plus whoever comes with them.
Right, that's big.
Homeboy is literally printing money
and putting it in
envelopes.
People.
Printing money and putting it in envelopes.
So
unbelievable.
Well, I mean, honestly, though, I look at that and I'm like, okay, so, you know, the whole rich people thing, whatever. He is super generous with the people who work for them. So there's, you know, that's a positive. But yes, I'm expecting there to be just an insanely, like, culty cultural vibe, and I'm really excited.
Yeah, man. That's like a Richard Paul Evans novel, to be honest. He does that a lot, like the big glitzy, like, Christmas party stuff.
Oh, the big party.
I love it.
Yeah.
I've never been to a big glamorous. I've lived in, like, the Christian publishing world. There's nothing glitzy or glamorous about it. It's like a Baptist wedding every corporate
event. All right, this is a good topic. This is a good topic.
This is going to be fun.
What's the weirdest thing you've gotten as a Christmas gift from a publisher that you've worked with? Because I feel like these guys are famous for sending out just like weirdo, rando Christmas gifts.
Well, T, you're I've the one that's one, worked with like 19 publishers, man. So, yeah, what have you got?
Yeah, I've never been – I haven't sold enough copies to garner any more than like a Christmas card. So I get like the card signed by the marketing department who didn't market my book. So
exactly, who poorly marketed your book.
Yeah.
Dude, I got a fruitcake from Moody Whoa. Publishing one time. This thing – dude, it was like getting a York barbell out of the mailbox. This thing weighed 25 pounds if it weighed an ounce. Right?
Baby, those hundreds of thousands of copies of that book with Katie Y, and that's all they sent you was a fruitcake.
Dude, seriously, I make them rich. I build them like a new building
in
Chicago.
Empire,
they send me a fruitcake.
And you get a fruitcake.
I built them an empire. And by I built them, I mean Gary Chapman.
You built them an empire. You launched the career of Katie Y, and what did you get in return?
Dude, we built this city on KDY.
Podcast.
As the song,
unbelievable.
As the song goes.
We built this city on KDY.
Gosh.
I was going to sing that, but you can't do it in beer commercial voice. It doesn't work as well as Indescribable.
No, you have to go like falsetto for that one.
We built this city on KDY.
I wish this episode would end.
Why? It's so Christmas festive, Ron.
It's not, man. There's boys,
Ronnie
so
Kringle?
Depressing.
Father Christmas
I forgot to
Martin.
Tell you about my my cantata appearance.
Talk to us about that, man. Let the world in on that.
Yeah, do we want to hear about that, and then we'll wrap the
Please.
App. So I was involved in my first Christmas cantata on Sunday, and I was a reader. I was reading some scripture. And
no, you were reading all of scripture, from what I understood.
Yeah, I was reading the whole council of scripture, given that it was a Reformed church. So, dude, the way they wrote me into this thing. So we've got this guy in our church who's just like... magnificent man. Like he's the picture of manhood in that his voice is like six octaves lower than everybody else's, and he speaks really slowly and in such a way that everything he says sounds profound because of it. And like he's only been in the church for like a year, and as such the church is just kind of in mass, like everybody's in love with this guy, right? So this is the guy that they want reading the scripture out loud. So I get this text from like the music director guy, and he's like, yeah, you know, we tried to get this dude, he couldn't do it. So would you be willing,
wow.
you know, to read some scripture out loud? So I said,
I couldn't
yes.
get a date. Will you be my plus one?
Exactly, dude. I was the, like the backup's backup, you know? So that was a little prick to the old ego, but, so I get there and I find out that I'm reading like half the New Testament, right? It was a lot, dude. I'm going to need Tommy John from just, like, holding the microphone at that angle for that long. It was a lot, but no, it was actually, all seriousness, it was really cool. It was.
Wait, you had to hold the microphone a la Stephen Furtick?
Dude, yeah, I had to do a Ferdy microphone hold. All I have is a music stand. Music stand and a handheld
what
mic.
So, like, what song was playing school. In the background, Big T, while you were reading? What were they?
Dude, that's the thing. They were, like, changing... the setup on the stage as I was reading. So probably like also no one was paying attention.
So it was
either.
A transitional read.
But,
wow.
It was a transitional read. I had all of Luke 2.
Oh, wow.
So that's birth to age. That's like birth to adolescence.
Yeah, that's like
for
birth
Jesus.
To like the cross, man, in Luke.
Yeah, so dude, you, so
Isn't
you get
like
the whole
80
like.
Verses?
Seriously.
Dude, I had like 80 verses, literally. So you get Jesus like hanging around in the roost, like his parents lost him for a minute. And he's like, no, I was at the temple the whole time. Like, no big, you know, so we got that whole narrative. It was a lot, man. It was a lot.
Wow.
But
that's amazing.
But no, it was a fun show.
Would you do it again?
A lot
Big
of talent,
T?
Man.
Would you do it again?
What's that?
Would you do it again?
I would do it again.
What did you like?
Maybe a little
it?
Less read.
What did you like about it?
All seriousness, here's what I loved about it. And this was like, we'll end on this because this delivered like legit Christmas vibes for me. It was very joyful to see like all the talent in our church that I didn't necessarily know was there, in the sense that a lot of these people that aren't like trying to be out front all the time got to perform music or whatever. And it was really, really good. Like legit good. We have some amazingly talented people in our church, and it was fun to see them do their thing. We got to see like a father sing a song with his daughter, which that stuff always rips me up, man, that in the best possible way. So, it was great, you know, and I've been resting my voice ever since then just to prepare to do radio. So
wow.
I couldn't talk to anyone for like 3 days afterward because
yeah,
my voice was
teaching in sign.
Yeah, teaching in sign, you know, nonverbals. But yeah, dude, that was the cantata. Now, does Substance do any kind of Christmas program?
Yeah, we'll just do an Eve of the Eve service. That's all we do. Got it. Then we're doing Advent every week. You know, we're doing the whole thing. So, yeah. Doing it up.
Nice.
Doing it up.
Well, boys, we've done what we always do, which is wander to and fro throughout the exact same Christmas episode topics as we do every previous year. So this has been fun. And until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
I'm Dr. Lauren DeVille, a practicing naturopathic physician in Tucson, Arizona. In my podcast, Christian Natural Health, my guests and I discuss topics ranging from nutrition, sleep, hormone balancing, and exercise to specific health concerns like hair loss, anxiety, and hypothyroidism. I'll also interweave biblical principles as they apply throughout the podcast because true health is body, mind, and spirit. Listen to Christian Natural Health for free at lifeaudio.com or on your favorite podcast platform.